Chapter 3. In the modern formal bullfight, or corrida de toros, there are usually six bulls that are killed by three different men. Each man kills two bulls. The bulls by law are required to be from 4 to 5 years old, free from physical defects, and well armed with sharp pointed horns. They are inspected by a municipal veterinary surgeon before the fight. The veterinary is supposed to reject bulls that are underage, insufficiently armed, or with anything wrong with their eyes, their horns, or any apparent disease or visible bodily defect such as lameness. The men who are to kill them are called matadors, and which of the six bulls they are to kill is determined by lot. Each matador, or killer, has a quadrilla, or team, of from 5 to 6 men who are paid by him and work under his orders. Three of these men, who aid him on foot with capes, and at his orders place the banderillas, 3-foot wooden shafts with harpoon points, are called peones, or banderilleros. The other two, who are mounted on horses when they appear in the ring, are called picadores. No one is called a toreador in Spain. That is an obsolete word which was applied to those members of the nobility who, in the days before professional bullfighting, killed bulls from horseback for sport. Anyone who fights bulls for money, whether as a matador, banderillero, or picador, is called a torero. A man who kills them on horseback with a javelin, using trained thoroughbred horses, is called a rejoneador, or caballero in plaza. A bullfight in Spanish is called a corrida de toros, or a running of bulls. A bull ring is called a plaza de toros. In the morning before the bullfight, the representatives of each matador, usually their oldest or most trusted banderilleros, meet at the corrals of the plaza de toros, where the bulls that are to be fought that afternoon are quartered. They look over the bulls, compare their size, weight, height, the length of their horns, width of horns, sharpness of horns, and the condition of their coats. This last is as good an indication as any of their physical condition and probable bravery. There is no sure sign by which bravery may be determined, although there are many indications of probable cowardice. The confidential banderilleros question the herder or vaquero who has traveled from the ranch with the bulls, and who, while he is in charge of them, is called the mayoral, about the qualities and probable disposition of each bull. The bulls must be divided into 3 lots of 2 bulls each by common consent of the representatives assembled, and the effort is to have 1 good bull and 1 bad bull, good and bad from the bullfighter standpoint, in each lot. A good bull for the bullfighter is not too big, not too strong, not too much horns, not too much height at shoulder, but above all, with good vision, good reaction to color and movement, brave and frank to charge. A bad bull for the bullfighter is too big a bull, too old a bull, too powerful a bull, with too wide horns. But above all, a bad bull is one with no reaction to color or movement, or with defective courage and lack of sustained viciousness, so that the bullfighter cannot tell when, whether, or how he will charge. The representatives, usually short men in caps, not yet shaven for the day, with a great variety of accents, but all with the same hard eyes, argue and discuss. They say the number 20 has more horns than the 42, but the 42 weighs 2 arrobas, 50 pounds, more than the 16. The 46 is as big as a cathedral. One calls to him and he raises his head from where he has been feeding, and the 18 is roan-colored and may be as cowardly as a steer. The lots are made up after much arguing, and the numbers of 2 bulls, those branded on their flanks, are written on 3 different cigarette papers and the papers rolled up into balls and dropped into a cap. The roan-colored probable coward has been paired with a medium-weight black bull with not too long horns and a glossy coat. The cathedral-sized 46 is coupled with the 16, which, being just barely big enough to be passed by the veterinaries and without salient characteristics, is the ideal of the half-bull that looks like a bull but lacks the full development of muscle and knowledge of how to use his horns, that all the representatives have hoped to get for their bullfighter. The number 20 with the wide horns with the needle points is balanced by the 42, which is the next smallest to the 16. The man who holds the cap shakes it, and each representative puts in a brown hand and draws out a tight-rolled cigarette paper. They unroll them, read them, perhaps take a final look at the two bulls they have drawn, and go off to the hotel to find the matador and tell him what he has to kill. The matador decides in which order he prefers to take his bulls. He may take the worst one first and hope to rehabilitate himself with the second in case his work with the first turns out badly. Or if he is third in the order to kill, he may take the best one first, knowing that he will be killing the sixth bull, and if it should be getting dark and the crowd wanting to leave, he will be pardoned an attempt to finish quickly and in the easiest way possible, should his bull turn out to be difficult. The matadors kill their bulls in turn in the order of their seniority, this dating from their presentation as a matador de toros in the Plaza of Madrid. If any matador is gored so that he is unable to return from the infirmary, his bulls were formerly all killed by the senior-ranking matador of those remaining in the ring. Now they are divided between the remaining matadors. The bullfight usually takes place at 5 o'clock or 5:30 in the afternoon. At a half hour past noon of the day of the fight, the apartado takes place. This is the sorting out of bulls in the corrals with the aid of steers and by the use of swinging doors, runways, and trap doors, separating them and trapping them into the individual pens or chiqueros where they are to stay and rest until they come out into the ring in the order in which it has been determined they are to be fought. Bulls are not deprived of food and water before fighting, as one may read in various guides to Spain, nor are they kept in a dark pen for several days. They are in the chiqueros in a dim light for not more than 4 hours before the bullfight commences. They are not fed there after they leave the corral any more than a boxer would be fed immediately before a fight. But the reason for placing them in the small, dimly lighted pens is to have some way of getting them promptly into the ring and to rest them and keep them quiet before the fight. Usually only the matadors, their friends and representatives, the bullring management, the authorities, and a very few spectators attend the apartado. It is usually the first time the matador sees the bulls he is to kill that afternoon. The number of spectators is kept down in most places by putting the price of tickets at 5 pesetas. The bullring management wants few people at the sorting in order that the bulls may not have their attention attracted by the spectators who want to see action, and so call to the bulls to excite them that they may charge the doors or the walls or each other. If they charge in the corrals, they run a risk of injuring their horns or of goring each other, and the management would have to replace them in the ring at the expense of a couple of $100 apiece. Many bullfight spectators and hangers-on have a belief that they can talk to the bulls as well or better than the bullfighters. Protected by the high fence or the wall of the corral, they try to catch the bull's eye, and they utter the guttural, "Huh, huh, huh," that the herders and toreros use to call the bull's attention. If the bull in the pen below raises his great head with the wide horns, solid-looking as wood and smoothly pointed, and the hump of muscle in his neck and shoulders, heavy and wide in repose, rises in a great swelling crest under the black hairy sheen of his hide, and his nostrils widen and he lifts and jerks his horns as he looks toward the spectator, then the amateur speaker of bull talk has had a success. If the bull should really charge, driving his horns into the wood or tossing his head at the talker, it would be a triumph. To hold down the number of successes and avoid triumphs, the management puts the tickets at 5 pesetas on the theory that anyone able to pay 5 pesetas to see bulls sorted will be too dignified to try to talk to bulls before bullfights. There is no way they can be sure of this, and at some places in the country where they have bulls only once a year, you see men at the apartado who pay 5 pesetas only in order to have a better opportunity to exercise their powers as talkers to bulls. But in general, the 5 pesetas reduces the amount of sober talking. The bulls pay little attention to a drunk. I have many times seen drunken men shout at bulls and never seen the bulls pay any attention. The 5 peseta atmosphere of dignity in a town like Pamplona, where a man can be drunk twice and eat a meal at the horse fair on 5 pesetas, gives an almost religious hush to the apartado. No one spends 5 pesetas there to see the bull sorted unless he is very rich and dignified. But the atmosphere of sorting can be very different in other places. I have never seen it quite the same in any two towns. After the sorting, everybody goes to the cafe. The bullfight itself takes place in a sand-covered ring enclosed by a red wooden fence a little over 4 feet high. This red wooden fence is called a barrera. Behind it is a narrow circular passageway that separates it from the first row of seats in the amphitheater. This narrow runway is called the callejón. In it stand the sword handlers with their jugs of water, sponges, piles of folded muletas, and heavy leather sword cases, the bullring servants, the vendors of cold beer and gaseosas, of iced fruits in nets that float in galvanized buckets full of ice and water, of pastries in flat baskets, of salted almonds, and of peanuts. In it also are the police, the bullfighters who are not in the ring at the moment, several plainclothes policemen ready to arrest amateurs who may jump into the ring, the photographers, and on seats built in it and protected by shields of boards, are the doctors, the carpenters who repair the barrera if it is broken, and the delegates of the government. In some rings, the photographers are allowed to circulate in the callejón. In others, they must work from their seats. The seats of the bull ring are uncovered except for the boxes, or palcos, and the first gallery, or grada. From the gallery, the seats descend in circular rows to the edge of the rings. These rows of numbered places are called tendidos. The two rows nearest the ring, the front rows of all the seats, are called barreras and contra barreras. The third row are known as delanteras de tendidos, or the front row of the tendidos. The bull ring, for numbering purposes, is cut into sections as you would cut a pie, and these sections numbered tendidos 1, 2, 3, and so on, up to 11 and 12, depending on the size of the ring. If you're going to a bullfight for the first time, the best place for you to sit depends on your temperament. From a box or from the first row in the gallery, details of sound and smell, and those details of sight that make for the perception of danger, are lost or minimized. But you see the fight better as a spectacle, and the chances are that if it is a good bullfight, you will enjoy it more. If it is a bad bullfight, that is, not an artistic spectacle, you will be better off the closer you are, since you can then, for lack of a whole to appreciate, learn and see all the details, the whys and the wherefores. The boxes and the gallery are for people who do not want to see things too closely for fear they may upset them, for people who want to see the bullfight as a spectacle or pageant, and for experts who can see details even though a long way from them, and want to be high enough up so they can see everything that happens in any part of the ring in order to be able to judge it as a whole. The barrera is the best seat if you want to see and hear what happens, and to be so close to the bull that you will have the bullfighter's point of view. From the barrera, the action is so near and so detailed that a bullfight that would be soporific from the boxes or the balcony is always interesting. It is from the barrera that you see danger and learn to appreciate it. There, too, you have an uninterrupted view of the ring. The only other seats besides the first row in the gallery and the first row in the boxes, where you do not see people between you and the ring, are the sobrepuertas. These are the seats that are built over the doorways through which you enter the various sections of the ring. They are about halfway up to the sides of the bowl, and from them you get a good view of the ring and a good perspective, yet you are not as distant as in the boxes or gallery. They cost about half as much as the barreras, or the first row of gallery or boxes, and they are very good seats. The west walls of the bullring building cast a shadow, and those seats that are in the shade when the fight commences are called seats of the sombra, or shade. Seats that are in the sun when the fight commences, but that will be in shadow as the afternoon advances, are called of sol y sombra. Seats are priced according to their desirability and whether they are shaded or not. The cheapest seats are those which are nearest the roof on the far sunny side and have no shade at all at any time. They are the andanadas del sol, and on a hot day, close under the roof, they must reach temperatures that are unbelievable in a city like Valencia, where it can be 104 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade. But the better seats of the sol are good ones to buy on a cloudy day or in cold weather. At your first bullfight, if you are alone, with no one to instruct you, sit in a delantera de grada, or sobrepuerta. If you cannot get these seats, you can always get a seat in a box. They are the most expensive seats and the farthest from the ring, but they give a good panoramic view of the fight. If you're going with someone who really knows bullfighting and want to learn to understand it and have no qualms about details, a barrera is the best seat, contra barrera the next best, and sobrepuerta the next. If you are a woman and think you would like to see a bullfight and are afraid you might be badly affected by it, do not sit any closer than the gallery the first time. You might enjoy the fight from there, where you will see it as a spectacle, and not care for it at all if you sat closer so that the details destroyed the effect of the whole. If you have plenty of money, want not to see but to have seen a bullfight, and plan, no matter whether you like it or not, to leave after the first bull, buy a barrera seat so that someone who has never had enough money to sit in a barrera can make a quick rush from above and occupy your expensive seat as you go out taking your preconceived opinions with you. That is the way it used to happen at San Sebastian. Due to various grafts of ticket resale and the reliance of the management on the wealthy curiosity trade from Biarritz and the Basque Coast, the barreras, by the time you buy them, cost 100 pesetas apiece or over. A man could live a week on that in a bullfighter's boarding house in Madrid, go to the Prado 4 times a week, buy good seats in the sun for 2 bullfights, buy the papers afterwards, and drink beer and eat shrimp in the Pasaje Alvarez off the Calle de Vitoria, and still have something left to get his shoes shined with. Yet by buying any sort of seat within diving range of the Barrera at San Sebastian, you could be sure of having 100 peseta seat to occupy when the citizens who knew they were morally bound to leave the bullring after the first bull stand up to make their well-fed, skull-and-bonesed, porcelained, beach-tanned, flanneled, Panama-hatted, sport-shod exits. I've seen them go many times when the women with them wanted to stay. They could go to the bullfight, but they had to meet at the casino after they had seen the first bull killed. If they didn't leave and liked it, there was something wrong with them. Maybe they were queer. There was never anything wrong with them. They always left. That was until bullfights became respectable. In 1931, I did not see one leave within range, and now it looks as though the good days of the free barreras at San Sebastian are over.